Okay, so this is D's Practice Pod. This is going to be a two-parter. The first part, I'm going to be talking with Steve Clues, which is, he's an old buddy of mine. We used to work at the Long Island Drum School together as teachers. He's had quite the career himself. One of the reasons why I brought him in is because I've never been in a tribute band before. And I'd like to hear a little bit of something about that. And, of course, anything else that he'd like to talk about. So, welcome, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Andy.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today. Good. And I brought some of my friends with me today who we'll talk to later on. I'm pretty excited about, you know?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes.
So, the main reason why I called you initially is because you were the drummer for a band called Mammoth back when, you know, we were working together. Mammoth is, that's just a email. Don't know. Mammoth was a, I assume was.
Yeah. Van Halen.
Right. A Van Halen tribute band, which for the young kids, you know, this little whippersnappers, they don't realize that that used to be actually the name of the band before they changed it to Van Halen.
So Van Halen was originally called Mammoth back in the day.
Yes, indeed it was.
Yes.
So, what is it like to be the drummer in tribute band? Obviously, some guys take it further than others where it has to be a note-for-note replication of what you hear on the album. What was your guys' approach?
Well, it's interesting how Mammoth came about because I put an original band back together called Sweet Revenge.
Right.
Which was up and running in the late 80s and we went through the whole club scene and had a great time when it had a great run. Back in 2001, we put Sweet Revenge back together for a big reunion show at Mulcahy's, and we packed the place, and it went from one show to a bunch of shows to another CD. And what we did when we were out playing is, since everybody in Sweet Revenge was a huge Van Halen fan, we threw a couple of Van Halen covers in our set. And we noticed that we got such an amazing reaction from the crowd. We said, well, what are we doing here? Let's take this a step further, and let's start a Van Halen tribute. We had a couple of issues, though, because two of my band members lived in Florida. So to really get this up and running.
Was that all?
It was a bit of a problem, yeah. So, you know, my guys bounced back and forth for a couple of shows, and then it was really, we couldn't really do it with those guys as much as we wanted to. So we brought a couple other guys in. We brought in one of the best David Lee Roth wannabes in the business out there to front the band. And we hit the stage running again. And
so that was that actually was one of my questions, was which era of Van Halen were you guys?
We did all the old David Lee Roth
stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, not that I dislike the Sammy stuff, because I do love the Sammy stuff.
I think everybody pretty much gravitates towards the Dave stuff.
Yes, that's the stuff we were kind of born and raised on.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
When Sammy was in the band, it was just a different band to me, and then I love the material. I do.
Right.
It's not like I'm one of those guys that say, I'll never play Sammy stuff, because I love the Sammy stuff.
Sure.
I loved Sammy before he was in Van Halen, you know? As far as replicating this stuff, yes, when me and Artie started working it, it was really just me and Artie, and he was my guitar player, just rehearsing, drummer and guitar only, rehearsing, and we really went for the note-for-note approach. We really did. We said, if we're going to do this, let's go out and do this right, because you do have bands that go out, and you see tribute bands, and they make it their own, and that's great. That's your thing. You do it. But we felt that, saying, hey, you know, let's really try to do this note for note, put on the best Van Halen show that we can. And we did. And we took it for quite a few years out there, you know, and had a lot of fun with it. Had a lot of fun. Had a lot of great shows, you know. And Mammoth sort of made a left and a right, and it turned into couple of changing members. It went from Unchained to completely Unchained. You know?
Yeah, well, you know,
it's just still part of it, being in the business out there, being in the tribute band. And,
absolutely.
You know,
well, being
really
in any
is.
Band, really.
Exactly.
The hardest thing about keeping an organization together is, firstly, organizing.
Yep.
And secondly, keeping all of the members together. Because as particularly when you're doing something artistic, people grow and they grow apart. Sometimes, and sometimes it makes it so that it's just not feasible to to keep the same
right, exactly.
crew. You know?
Right, exactly. So. It's got to be healthy. You got to have a healthy relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just
right.
makes it that much better. It really does.
Yeah.
You know? And as far as, I mean, the overall look of the band, we tried to look the parts a little bit. I don't look like Alex. I'm grateful for that, actually. but as far as my drum kit, I did come out with the big monster kit with the black and white stripes that it's
right.
so recognizable, and already came out with
right.
Frank's 9 guitars. And he even had a mini Eddie replica guitar, which was really cool, you know?
Cool.
But the most challenging thing about playing the Van Halen stuff is, listen, Alex is an amazing drummer.
Right.
Okay, the guy doesn't get enough credit for what he did with the band, and it's the truth for every record, you know?
Right.
But, of course, you got the whole Hot for Teacher issue that comes up.
Well, that is sort of the benchmark of the franchise.
Yes,
you know?
Is.
So
you know?
You either play it note for note or you don't bother doing it.
Exactly.
You know? Right.
So
right.
we worked very hard, and we put in a lot of hours learning this stuff, and to this day, I'm very happy about what we accomplished out there in the tribute scene. I really am. I think we left a really good mark, you know. There's a couple of good Van Halen tributes out there now that took it and they're running with it, and God bless them, you know.
Sure.
But I had a lot of fun with it. I really did. And it's funny because I just got called to do another show back in July in Atlantic City with a Van Halen tribute, and I jumped on board, and I had a blast with it, you know.
That's great.
It was really cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, musically, other than what we will be talking about later, what do you have any projects of yours right now that are ongoing, or are you just like project to project to project?
Kinda? It's basically project to project. You know, something calls, and you know, I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. I might want to check this out. I'll take a look at it. You know,
right.
But I'm not in a steady ongoing project right now. Right now, I'm pretty much just bogged down teaching. You know, which I love
right.
doing.
You know? Oh, it's nothing helps the chops better than having to take it out of your brain
exactly.
and put it in someone else's brain.
Exactly.
There's no guesswork if you can actually do that, so you know that you actually are proficient in what it is that you're doing.
Very true.
So.
Very true. You know, so, you know, once in a while I get a call and, you know, whether it's an original band or a cover band and, you know, and then I'll decide, I don't want to do this, and... And it's kind of cool to be able to sit back and do that at this point, you
right.
know? I'm not looking to run out and tour the world right now, you know, unless the right offer comes along.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying
yeah.
no yeah, you know, to anybody, right. but, you know. A few years ago, I was bouncing around quite a bit. I actually got a call from the Twisted Sister organization that they needed a tech for AJ.
Right.
Which was really interesting. It came out of the blue. And at the same time, I was managing a band called Toxin, which was my son's band, and I was in Unchained. And I go, wow. I never thought about teching for anybody. But I heard AJ was a great guy to work with. And I said, you know what? Let me see what this is about. So I said yes to the gig, and the week later was, I think, Twisted's first show at the Best Buy in New York City. And I met AJ, and he was a hell of a nice guy, and we just clicked. Just clicked. It was amazing, you know? So I said, hey, this is actually really cool. So I jumped on board with Twisted, and I teched for them for a few years and bounced around the world with those guys for a while. In between, I was doing Toxin dates, and it was just pretty much nonstop, and something had to give. So my tribute band was the first thing that had to give, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
But
it
was, you know, it was all good, though, you know, because at that point in time, I did the tribute thing for quite a few years, and I was like, you know what, let me, if anything's got to give, that's going to have to go first.
And
so
you
it
felt
did.
That made its run
yes,
anyway,
you
right?
Know? Mm-hmm.
Are they still around in any capacity, or?
The Van Halen tribute?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, the last lineup that we had up and running, it's interesting because it was Johnny Raggio on guitar, and Gene Henriksen, if you remember these guys back from the Rough Cut days in Long Island, were a huge, huge Long Island band. I used to go see them all the time, play, loved them.
Right.
And Kevin Humphries on bass. And uh-huh. they continued with a new lineup, and it's called Completely Unchained right now. And that's actually the band that I played with in Atlantic City over the past summer. You know? So they're still up and running, still killing it, still doing good, still bouncing around.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good to hear when something has life to it still.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so
still got legs, still moving.
Good.
You know, it's because people still want to see that stuff. People love it, you know?
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's the deal, you know?
Music is cyclical also. So just because something's in vogue now doesn't mean that what it, you got to remember, at one point, Bach was pop music.
Very true.
You know, so it things find their audience, and an audience never really goes away for anything. It just becomes more selective, as they say in Spinal Tap.
Very true.
So, all right, well, it's fantastic to talk to you and hear from you and hear what you've been doing. I have three young gentlemen in here right now that you have been working with. You want to tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Aside from teaching and playing, what happened a few years ago is my son Jason started a band. And I said, listen, I said, if you really want to do this, I said, you're not going out into this industry without me. I said, because it's an ugly, scary place out there at times. And he said, fine. He goes, let's build this band. So he had a really good keyboard player on board named Matt Hulse. And we built a band called Toxin. So I became their manager. And we built this band. And I kind of brought in a team of people around the band. And the band did a lot of amazing things in a short amount of time. Jumping forward a few more years later, Toxin went by the wayside, unfortunately. It's just all part of the business, as we all know. And I was getting a lot of calls from other bands. Would you manage us? Would you do this? Can you help us out? And I just really didn't have much interest in the time until my buddy Ed Vitieri called me up. Now, me and Ed go way back. He's part of the rock and roll scene. He's a great guy. And I knew his son, Jesse. And I know his son, Jesse, because it's very funny. One of my teachers many years ago was a guy named Vic Siappa, and Jesse was actually also a student of Vic's, you know, so I knew
small world.
Him and his family through Vic
a
bit, you know.
Smaller island.
Right, so Ed calls me up. He says, listen, Jesse's got a band. He goes, I want you to see them, and can you come down and check them out, and they're really good. I said, by all means, let me come down and see what you got going on. So I go down, these kids rehearsals, and these kids played, and I had to take a step back, and I go, holy mackerel. I saw three guys play their hearts out in front of me. And that's exactly what I want to see when I see a band play. Okay, and I'm not looking for technicality. I'm looking for guys that play with feel and emotion, and they're hungry. And I had three guys that did that. And I go, whoa. I said, holy crap. I said, these guys are the real deal. And they're young, and I love it, you know? So I said, yeah, I'll get involved to help you guys out. I'll come down, and we'll go through rehearsals, and we'll do some gigs, and you got to take that?
No.
Okay. And the band is up and running. The band is called Pine Street. So I said, hey, man, since I'm coming down to talk to you today, Andy, let me bring these guys in here and let them do some talking to you, you know, because they're really good guys. And they just did a killer show at 89 North a couple of weeks ago where, I mean.
Yeah, you were telling me about it.
Nobody touched these kids that night.
I mean, very well received.
Guys on this stage I've been playing 20 years. I had to take a step back and go, oh, really? You know, so these are the guys in Pine Street. You got Jesse, you got Matt, and you got Devin sitting here in front of you. So they're all yours.
Okay, fantastic. All right, let's do a little changing of the guard here. We'll just, you know, move things around. A little traveling music. That's enough. So hey guys,
what's going on? How are you?
Good, good, good. Are you enjoying this fine weather we've been having?
It's disgusting.
It's amazing.
Oh, yes.
It's absolutely amazing.
Good old Long Island winters. You know and never know what you're going to expect, except that it's probably going to stink.
Makes me feel so good.
Home sweet home.
Okay. All right. So, again, just so that anyone listening gets a feel for what your individual voices sound like, could you each individually tell me what your name is and what instrument you play?
My name is Matt Schock. I play lead guitar, and I also do lead vocals.
Okay.
My name is Jesse Vitieri. I play drums, and I do backup vocals.
Okay.
My name is Devin Juco. I play bass, and I do backup vocals.
Awesome. Okay, guys. So, where did you guys meet?
Well, we met at school. Devin was actually in my art class.
And where'd you go to school?
Plant Edge High School.
Okay.
And we just started talking. One thing led to another. Devin came over to jam, actually, with me and Max. Me and Matt knew each other before then. And then it was right from there, we kind of just clicked.
Yeah, things started to kick off. We all realized we had the same musical interests, and we wanted to join a band and start jamming together. And that's what happened. Now we're here.
And actually, me and Jesse knew each other way before this. Like, when we were, like, 9 or 10 years old. You know, we were friends and stuff, you know, kind of drifted apart. And then when high school came around, I was in 10th grade, he was 11th, and we had that art class. And I just started playing guitar, and it was just a really good opportunity. So I was like, yeah, let's jam, and here we are.
So how long you guys been together now, then?
We've been together for about a year now, and we're just really happy to be around. We've accomplished a lot of things already, and we're hoping to take the bull by the horns and keep going.
That sounds great. That sounds great. What would you say your musical influences are?
Are we all going to do it individually?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. So me personally, my biggest influence of all time, my favorite band, my favorite idols were definitely Nirvana. I just think they're amazing. When I was in seventh grade, and I really got into them, it just spoke to me so much. It gave me such an outlook on life and in general, and just how, like, the big world of music, like, there's much more than just the regular cliche stuff like Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, stuff like that. Yeah, that's what I listened to. And then I gravitated more to that, and then it just opened the horizons even more. And, you know, and I have other, like punk music is obviously number one for me. Just love punk. I love metal, like Slipknot, and more heavier, you know, death stuff like Pantera and Rage Against the Machine. Absolutely love it, and just punk music in general. And yeah, that's just stuff like that.
Great.
Some of my influences. I'm a very big Kiss fan. Love them. Eric Singer on the drums, one of the best drummers, I think. One of the best drummers ever. Showmanship is amazing. Also, I love System of a Down. It's very different.
Right.
And also, Rage Against the Machine. Amazing. I could listen to them all day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
In contrast to my friend Devin over here, I am a very cliche rock guy. I like a lot of 60s and 70s rock, like Led Zeppelin, even some 80s rock, Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix, all the good old classic rock that you hear on the radio nowadays. Jesse actually introduced me to a lot of it. My family's not a big music family, but once I became friends with Jesse, he introduced me to Kiss, which was actually my first musical experience. And then from there, I branched out and saw everything else that was rock and roll, and I've just been into it ever since.
Wow, wow.
Amen.
Yeah. No Michael Bolton fans here? No.
No.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
No, Bruce Kulick plays Michael Bolton.
Bruce Kulick is good.
Well, you know, the thing I like to say, if you were to look around, this is taking place in my teaching studio, and if you were to look around at my CD collection, it looks like 10 different people's CD collections. Drummers in particular, we have a tendency to get bored easily. So we look for that next new thing to do. And the great thing about it is it just becomes this soup after a while where we start playing things from different genres at the same time. And sometimes it works out well with our bandmates, and sometimes it doesn't. Depends on what you're putting together. But it's never a bad idea to have a bunch of different influences.
Well, music is an endless journey. It can never end, and it can go forever, and you can discover just all types of stuff that you
hear,
didn't even know existed or love.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we talked about your musical influences. How about your individual, who do you see as like your particular instrument influences? Who are the guys that you look to basically to know your instrument?
As I said before, Jesse introduced me very first to Kiss, and I got very heavily influenced by Ace Frehley. And that also brought me into stuff like Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page and just learning all the blues riffs that can be incorporated into hardcore rock and roll. I love listening to stuff like that. It influences me in my songwriting and my solo writing and just how I attack the guitar and what I feel and what I look like up on stage.
Fantastic. You, sir?
Some of my influences are Travis Barker, Blink-182, amazing drummer. Love all his beats, off-time beats, amazing. And also, of course, John Bonham. How can you not?
Well,
like
yeah.
John Bonham?
No one's collection is complete without Bonzo. Yeah.
And also can't forget Joey Jordison.
Yeah, sure.
Amazing. And also Tony Royster Jr. I can watch him hours at a time.
He's an interesting player to watch because he's been, you know, even though he's still at a relatively tender age, he's been playing professionally for a very long time. And the thing that I love about him is the fact that he doesn't stop learning.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
he's
which
amazing.
Is what I would suggest anyone do. Continue to try to forge forward and play different things and you know, continue on what it is that we have to do.
That's what I love about this guy. He always could just pick up anything right away, and he always just serves the music no matter what he's taking from, and it works really well.
Absolutely. That's very important, too. Remember the Beatles. Everybody likes to kind of crap on Ringo, but Ringo played what was necessary.
Ringo played on a... He was a lefty that played on a righty kit, which made it so crazy.
Sure.
He had to go around a totally different way, which made it sound totally different.
And that's why they wanted him, because they didn't want anyone to copy his style or his sound or just who he was.
Exactly.
Well, it probably also made him select the notes he played more carefully, because it wasn't going to be this big Olympic event. It was going to be what it had to be, and that was going
to
be it.
It's almost like he was limited to a certain extent because he couldn't do what a righty drummer would do on a righty kit. He had to do what a lefty drummer would do on a righty kit.
Absolutely. Exactly. Right. So.
My biggest like heroes and inspirations, idols. When I first, I used to play drums first. That was what I did first. And I would say, kind of like Jesse would said, like Joey Jordison, John Bonham, even other guys like Buddy Rich and, you know, Gene Krupa, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
Love those guys. I think drumming is a fantastic art, just an amazing instrument, and there's so much to it. And as years went by, and I got into Nirvana, of course, my biggest hero for guitar or just picking up anything other than drums is obviously Kurt Cobain, just biggest inspiration. Yeah. Also, Billy Joel Armstrong of Green Day. I love, you know, just playing guitar, palm muting, you know, learning different chords and stuff. And bass, overall, my favorite bass player of all time is Mike Dirnt. Absolutely my biggest inspiration, my biggest hero, my favorite bass player of all time. And just even other guys like Tim Comingford from Rage Against the Machine. I just love the bass. You know, like the bass, I don't know. I mean, not really like any specific guys. I just love the bass in general, just the way it works and the endless journey that there is into it. So, yeah.
Right, yeah. That sounds fantastic. Okay. All righty. We kind of discussed what genres and who it is that you listen to. What part of the band experience do you enjoy the most?
What I enjoy the most is definitely just playing on stage, just chemistry with these two guys. It feels unbelievable.
I really enjoy when we actually get to go to rehearsal and create our own material. We get to put our feelings into our songs and put it out there in front of a group of people that have never seen us before, and having people pretty shocked about what we could do because we're still young. And I just hope that could keep going and keep progressing to somewhere that it could get bigger and bigger and actually make people feel what we feel and touch people in their hearts and in their minds and realize what we really feel.
Cool.
The biggest thing that I just love playing music. It's what I live, it's what I breathe, it's what I think about all the time. And just the fact that I have these two guys, or really anybody in general, to play music with is just, I feel so grateful for it. It's such a gift. It's something that I love doing, and it's something that I want to continue doing the rest of my life, with no matter who it is, no matter what instrument it is. I just love playing music. It's just what I am. It's who I am, and it's what I want to be.
Terrific. Okay. What's your least favorite thing?
My least favorite thing is definitely at the end of the show. Not necessarily taking the gear off stage, but having to pack everything back up. I mean, it's...
Oh, you're talking to a drummer, so yeah. Okay.
I know. Yeah. I have to help my drummer out all the time with it. I have some of the least amount of gear it is, but I just, whenever I'm on stage and whenever I'm done playing, I just want to keep the energy going and keeping the vibe going so that I don't have to slow myself down and packing everything up.
You should ask David Lee Roth what his worst, you know, because I had to take that little microphone and click and go home.
Yeah, those guys are lucky, man. Let me tell you.
Of course, I have to ask the drummer, but what's your least favorite part of it?
Definitely packing up.
Packing up.
Lugging all that stuff everywhere.
Do you make yourself a checklist?
Oh, all the time.
Good idea.
Yeah,
it's expensive to forget stuff because the one thing about our musical community, they're not necessarily the most benevolent of people. So if you leave something behind, don't even go back to find out if it's there because guess what?
It's gone.
Especially if it's a tuning key. It's gone.
Yes.
Drum keys are gone.
Gone. What about you, sir? What's your least favorite part?
Really, kind of what they're saying, yeah, packing stuff up, but I don't know, sometimes creating a set list for a show can be a little stressful sometimes, a little mind-boggling, you know, not awful, but sometimes it can be a little, like, a little bit more than what you would think it would be.
Sure.
Especially depending on what kind of show it is, if it's just a cover show and all original, a mix of both.
Right, yeah. How did you guys come to meet Steve?
Well, I actually met Steve at a Twisted Sister show. Him and my dad were friends. He brought me back there to see AJ Perro's kit. And I'll never forget that day because that's when I really started getting serious about drums. And I will never forget when Steve gave me a pair of sticks there. It was just such a great experience. Never forget.
I actually met Steve when Jesse and Jesse's dad took me to see Steve's son's band, Toxin, play at Deer Park, and just that day alone, when I first met him, he gave us, Jesse and I, so many tips on how we should be starting, what to do, how to look, and just gave us the whole sort of input on what the music scene is like, and showed us and finally brought us into that world that we've been wanting to get into, and I really am appreciative of that.
Cool. Very, very amazing story here. I just simply met Steve the first time he came to our rehearsal. There's really not too much to it.
You're right. That was an amazing story.
You tell that one at parties, Dev?
It's so amazing. I sleep at night so well knowing that I have that story.
So how would you say he's helped you the most? Steve, that is. Just in case you were wondering. Yeah. Right.
The man, the myth, the legend. I definitely feel like he's helped us the most. When he comes down to rehearsal, he just points out different things that he likes and doesn't like. Since he is a drummer, he definitely points out a lot of Jesse's stuff. And
which helps me.
It does help him. And for a lot of the times, it just makes us better when he points out even some vocal things. Like sometimes we could hit flat notes or sharp notes, or sometimes a lead lick on guitar isn't as clean as it should be. And he just tells us what needs to be tightened up and what needs to stay the same, because I mean, he's been around that scene so much that he knows what people like to hear and what it should sound like to make it sound tight and clean and like a real rock show.
Kind of like what Matt said also, like he points out like all constructive criticism, which I'm very grateful for, because if he wasn't here, like it would be kind of not hard to fix it, but it's just so much better that he's there to help us out. An experienced guy, just, you know, knows what he's doing. And I'm very grateful.
I just, kind of what Jesse said, I just love the honesty. The constructive criticism is on point, it's factual, and it's actually, you know, it's real. And it is there just to help us so much and to help us progress even more on a great, much higher level than we ever expected without his help or anything. Like, it would just be, I can't imagine what it would be like if we didn't have his help, because a lot of tips and stuff that we probably never would have figured out, or probably would have had a harder time figuring out if we didn't have him. So it's all good.
We're so grateful for it, because it's not just any guy coming off the street just saying, oh, I don't like the way that sounds, change it. It's some guy that has actual experience with knowing what sounds good, what doesn't sound good, what's going to please people, and what's going to please different places for us to play. So it's really good having actual experience telling us how we should do things and helping us out. It's really, really nice.
Do you feel what it is that he's been telling you has influenced the band's sound, or do you think that maybe it's just polishing it up?
I definitely think it's just polishing up, because it's not a major, oh, I don't like this total song, trash it. It's like, okay, this one piece could be tighter, and you could do that by X, Y, and Z, and it just, it makes the whole thing get pulled together sometimes. Yeah. Or maybe he'll say, this one part that's a breakdown, it kills the whole vibe of the pushing force of the song, so try taking that out and making it heavier and making it louder and making it faster instead of putting clean guitar and a little drum breakdown and everything. It definitely just polishes the sound up.
Agreed.
Okay. Agreed?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Very much so, yes.
Okay, what are you guys up to now?
We are actually about to start recording a couple songs in the studio, and we're really looking forward to it. Why don't you guys tell them what songs we're going to get to?
Well, some of the songs we're going to be recording, we have a song called Floor It, probably our best song, very good.
We have our, you know, our classic, the one that everyone always tells us about, how much they love, Signals. You know, everyone on Matt's baseball team basically says, you know, where's that song? Where's that song? Like, you know, where, aren't you guys ever recorded? You know, so that stuff we have.
It's gotten to the point where they play our music during baseball practice, and it's kind of getting annoying because I know the quality of sound once it actually gets professionally recorded could be so much better than hearing a live recording on a stage somewhere playing through big speakers. But another one that we're probably going to start setting off with the three is called Our Time Is Now, or as we abbreviate it to be Odin. They're all really good kicking hard rock songs with riff derived, and they're very melodic, and you could definitely hear all of our influences in all the music.
That sounds good to me. What are the future goals of the band, as a band first?
I really feel like that our future can really be positive, great, progressive, and just all around just amazing if we just keep our chemistry straight, we just keep writing material, we all put all of our just heart, soul, and just entire existence into our writing and also just our chemistry in general, and also our performances live. You know, you can't leave that out. You have to make sure that's, you know, real strong, real attacking, that will really like attract an audience that that will really listen to our stuff, even if it's a cover. Like, yeah, still, like, make it something like of our own, and like really just capture everyone's attention. Like, whoa, like that's really unique, that's really cool, that's really different. Mm-hmm. And that's just sounds amazing.
Okay.
Hey, I have to agree with Devin there too. Our future, I think, is very bright. I think it could go very well. Honestly, wherever this roller coaster will take us, I'm down for anything.
Okay.
I agree with both of these boys. I just hope everything goes well. We're still going to be a kick-ass force when we're on stage, creating new music when we're at rehearsal, and I'm just hoping that this thing's going to get a move on and more people are just going to know about us and hear about us and relate to the things that we're talking about.
Okay. What about individually? What are your future goals?
Well, my future goals is to try to be in the music industry in any way, if it's like engineering, producing, and just being also just playing the drums, like being a drum teacher, anything. Like, I just want to be in the music industry probably for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Me, I don't know. Kind of what Jesse said. I do want to do something musically, even if it's just playing with, you know, a couple of buddies, you know, like here or there. And it doesn't matter. I just want to do something musical. Even if it's just me playing for 10 minutes at home before work, like on my bass or something in the basement, it's all good. I mean, just, or really any instrument for that matter. Just want to, you know, but no matter what happens, I do want to just have a positive future. Make it, you know, carpe diem, seize today, you know, make everything worthwhile. Make it all just a learning experience, because, you know, life is just a long learning experience with endless possibilities, and you never know what you're going to find in any business, but I hope that it's somewhat music related, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm gonna tag along to what Jesse said over here. It's a roller coaster, and I'd be really thankful for how much we've already had opportunities to do, and all the things that we have done, and the things that we're going to do, and wherever it takes me, I'm gonna be along for the ride and be happy for it, and definitely be thankful and take all the opportunities we can. But me personally, musically, I guess I'd have to say, clean up on a couple guitar licks and just keep writing and writing and writing, because everything we want to play is starting to get more original, more our material. Get away from the covers and just become a band that's, we're playing our music and people can start to hear us.
That sounds good, gentlemen. Sounds good. Well, you're all very well-rounded, nice young men.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
He called us men.
Men, well, I did say young.
Oh, that's true.
So.
This is true.
So it was great to meet you.
As for you.
I wish you guys a lot of success.
Thank you very much.
You seem very focused, and as long as that is going to continue to be the case, I'm sure that you will get the success that you are looking for.
Definitely.
Okay, well, this has been D's podcast. And this is all together now.
Pine Street. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.